The Old Testament reading for the Epiphany of our Lord is from Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be carried on the hip. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and exult, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense, and shall bring good news, the praises of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, a prisoner for Christ Jesus on behalf of you Gentiles, assuming that you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you, how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given me by the working of his power. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery, hidden for ages in God, who created all things, so that through the church the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, Herod inquired of the Magi where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet Micah, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of our Lord. In the name of Jesus, God in the flesh made manifest, Amen. I notice the pastor has a watch up here. I'm not sure what he does with that. I'm going to be about 15 minutes. So if you want to check your watches, you could do that along the way. 2024 has indeed become 2025. If you're like me, you're probably still going to write 2024 in the checkbook a time or two along the way. Well, that's not true. Donna keeps the checkbook. I don't write it. I, along with a few of you, am not so young anymore. And we not so young folks sometimes say, time what's? Time flies by. And indeed it does. Although it always goes at the same speed, sometimes we're thinking about time flying by. And this morning, I want to share with you that God Almighty created all things, and you know that. But he also created time. And this morning, I want us to think about probably the most important questions that you or I or anyone is ever going to answer. What is God's divine purpose for time? What is time all about? What does God identify as the most important events that have ever taken place in the history of the world, or in fact, will ever take place? What are the most important events? And finally, you and I are living in time. We're heading into the Epiphany season, and the question becomes, what are the most important things that you and I can be doing with our time in the here and now? We can't get into all the specifics of that, but I'm going to give you a few generalities here in a few minutes. So the question I want to present early on, it's an easy question. How does God's church on earth, at least among us Lutherans and some other folks as well, how do we mark the passage of time? And what would you say? Well, we mark the passage of time. And by the way, I don't have this mic on. Can you all hear me well enough? It's all okay? How do we in the church mark the passage of time? We have our secular calendars, do we not? But we also have our church calendars full of seasons and colors and festivals. And so it is that we move through the church year. By the way, did you notice how quick the season of Advent passed by? We were here for a number of weeks in December, getting ready for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that season, I'm not sure whether you do it here or not, but some places now, that's a season of royal blue, a kingly color, as we focus on the coming of Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. In the Christmas season, and actually I didn't know whether we were going to be green today or white, because we're entering the 50 season tomorrow, and Rose, you got us ready for Epiphany. So we're still white, and today, the second Sunday of Christmas, and the white, we can understand, standing for the purity and the holiness of Jesus Christ, born a babe in Bethlehem. Tomorrow, indeed, the season of Epiphany begins. What's the color of the season of Epiphany? We're going to transition to green. Green for growth. And I would suggest there's a lot of different ways to look at it, but green for the growth of the church on earth in the first century, growing among both Jew and Gentile alike. Green for growth. And today, we had a gospel lesson that focused on Epiphany, if you will. The coming to the Magi, the wise men from the Far East, coming to worship Jesus Christ as the newborn king, bowing down before him, worshiping him, and presenting their gifts to him. And I would suggest, just in a small way right now, as we enter into Epiphany and we read about these wise men, may we also be wise. They went home by another route. When we go to our homes in the days and weeks to come, may we go knowing that they gave the very, very best of their gifts to the Christ child. May we go to our homes thinking about this new year, thinking about giving the very, very best of our gifts of time and talent and treasure to that which is most important on the face of this earth, and that is sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, both right here locally in our corner of the world, indeed far and wide throughout the rest of the world. Indeed, may we make that a part of our top priority for the coming year. I'd like to turn back to the church calendar right now, season of Epiphany. And in Epiphany, we are going to be walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We will hear him proclaim the truth about who he really is. And who is he really? Emmanuel, God's Son, come in the flesh. Come to be our Savior. We're going to walk in his footsteps. We're going to listen to him preach and teach and work miracles. And I will give you this maybe to focus on in this season of Epiphany. Epiphany means shining forth. During the season of Epiphany, we are going to consistently see the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ shining through his humanity with regard to what he teaches and preaches and does. By the way, we'll end the Epiphany season seeing his glory, all of his divine glory, on the Mount of Transfiguration, just before we head into Lent and Easter. And as we enter Epiphany and move into the season of beyond the season of Lent, and also to the white of Easter, I want to ask you a question this morning, and none of us can answer it specifically. What do you think the days of 2025 are going to bring your way? We do not know what tomorrow will bring, but we do know who holds tomorrow, and that is our Heavenly Father. I can share with you, in general, I think that you're probably going to have a few joyful days. And knowing that you're on the way to heaven in Jesus Christ will make those joyful days even more joyful. My guess is you're going to have some good days. Yeah, rejoice in that good day. And in fact, you're probably going to have, like I have sometimes, some very boring, routine days. And guess what? If they're boring and routine, what is not taking place? Bad stuff. And that makes those days great. And yes, we are probably going to have some bad stuff come our way in 2025. Maybe ultimately even something tragic, extremely painful. And no matter what your days bring to you, or to me, let's hold on to this truth that God loves you. He sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for you. And you have a place, resting place for your soul in the glories of heaven. No matter what the day brings, that is the truth that should remain at the source and center of our thinking for each day. Paul begins his letter to the Ephesians this way. And actually, he talks about creating time. And it goes this way. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. God chose us in Jesus before the creation of time, before the foundation of the world, God chose you and I to be what? Pure, holy, and blameless in His sight. Raise your hand if you think you're pure and holy and blameless. None of us can. Not a single solitary one of us. But that's how God sees us. He sees us as pure and holy and blameless because of our faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. 50 years ago, time flies. 50 years ago as a young man, I was baptized right over there in that sanctuary. I went through adult confirmation with Pastor Melvin, baptized into the Christian faith. And as I was baptized, just like you in your baptisms, I was united with the perfection, the holiness, and the blamelessness of Jesus Christ. And that's how God sees us, because of our faith in Him. And over the past 50 years, there have been a good number of people who have made it clear in one way or the other, Ed, you're foolish. You're naive. You believe that the Bible really is God's word? Come on now. All that stuff is just myth and legend. And I want to share with you the truth of fact. There's probably roughly 7 billion people on the face of the earth this morning that think you are foolish for listening to a fool like me. They simply do not get it. They do not understand the good news about Jesus Christ. And what am I saying this morning about Him? There's only one true God. There's only one true way to the glories of heaven, to stay out of eternity in hell. And that one way is through saving faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of our sins. When I say resurrected, I've also been confronted by people in days gone by. You don't believe that Jesus really rose from the dead, do you? Yeah, I do. And by the way, have you ever thought about going and looking at all the proof that exists for the resurrection of Jesus Christ? You know what their answer usually is? Well, no. I just believe what other people have told me. Have you ever read the words of people who have brilliant minds, who had one goal in mind? And that goal was to destroy Christianity by proving that the resurrection was not true. And have you ever read about what happened at the end of their goal? Fell down on their knees, believing that Jesus was exactly who He said He was, exactly who He said He is and what the Bible says He is. They fell down on their knees and worshiped Him as Lord and Savior. I don't argue with them. I just share those things. And then, by the way, I said, go look at those several questions and then come back and talk to me. I haven't had anybody come back and talk to me. I wish they would. As we proclaim Jesus to be the light of the world during this season of Epiphany, let me take a moment to turn you to what's going to take place ahead. Turn you to your Bibles during the season of Epiphany. You have a handout, I think, in your bulletin for today. Rose, we got them in, and they may or may not have a green one. You might have a white one. We ran out of green paper, but there's a green handout. You might have it. And that handout actually yields to you all of the readings for each of the Sundays that are coming up during the season of Epiphany. I encourage you, I mean, some people may take that home and throw it away, but I encourage you to perhaps contemplate Sunday by Sunday, taking a peek at those three lessons, Old Testament, Epistle, Gospel reading. Taking a peek at those three lessons and then beginning to think about preparing for worship on Sunday morning. You might ask the question, how do they fit together? And I'll be honest with you, sometimes I look at the three lessons and go, they don't. But how do they perhaps fit together? Do they have some kind of common theme that you can see? Is there a question or questions that might arise? Jot them down. Think about asking Pastor. And finally, as we enter the season of Epiphany, let me give you this one last thought for your daily prayers each day. Some 15 years ago, during the season of Advent, my wife Donna and I, driving all around Lafayette at night, letting our grandchildren, Aubrey and Jaden, 3 and 5 at the time, see all the Christmas lights and all the decorations. As we drove around, Aubrey sitting in the back, looking left and seeing the lights and decorations, looking right and even out the front, my granddaughter Aubrey kept saying these three words over and over again. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And I can still hear the joyful delight in her voice as she said, oh my goodness. As the upcoming days of Epiphany fly by, perhaps we can latch on to these words or something similar to that as part of our daily prayers. Oh, my goodness, God. Thank you for being so good to me. Thank you for the blessings you richly and daily bestow upon me and our family. And thank you for the many blessings that you give to us in and through your Son, Jesus Christ, who is indeed the light of the world. Oh, my goodness. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your heart and my heart in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.